Argument 6. John's Baptism. Infant baptizers insist that when John the Baptist baptized, he did so on the same principle as that which governed the Jews when they circumcised infants. Hanko, for instance, said that baptism was about to take the place of circumcision, but the changeover was smooth, since this was ensured by the continuity between the two testaments. We have looked at these claims in previous pages and found them mistaken. Baptism did not replace circumcision. The church did not exist in the Old Testament. And while there is some continuity between the testaments, the real discontinuity between them must not be glossed over. Nevertheless, based on the faulty foundation he had laid, Hanko proceeded to assert that the principle under which John baptized was believers and their seed. This claim must be measured against Scripture. We know that in the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And all the land of Judea and those of Jerusalem went out to him, and were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. In those days John the Baptist came preaching, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him, and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "Brood of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he who is coming after me, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." John baptized whom? He baptized only those who were repentant. He insisted on it. Clearly, this excluded infants, not because they were infants, but because they could not repent. They were automatically excluded by John's demands for evidence of repentance before he baptized. But according to the claims of infant baptizers, John was at fault. He should have baptized a man who was repentant and his children with him, believers and their seed, as Hanko put it. Indeed, Hanko said that it is the principle under which John did baptize. Yet John clearly did not. Hanko's claim, therefore, collapses. John did not baptize those who repented and their children. Why not? Whatever the reason, it is clear that John was not operating under the principle of a man and his child. There is only one explanation. John was baptizing in a new era. As Mark said, it was the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just so, a new era, a new age, a new law or canon. The Old Testament principle had gone. The new had come. In the old covenant, it was a man and his children. Not so in the new covenant. John's baptism, far from establishing infant baptism, goes a long way to destroying it. Hanko admitted that it was not likely that John did baptize children, even though he alleged it was the background principle and context of his ministry. Hanko's suggestion to explain this, which, to be fair, he did not press, was that in the rugged desert country, it was not likely that people would take their children with them. But as he rightly said, we may not make conclusions on the basis of silence. It is a pity that infant baptizers do not remember and act upon that principle when they do argue from silence, as we shall discover in coming pages. What is more, there is no need to reason from silence. We don't have to speak about what is likely. We are told, John baptized those who repented, and only those. That is what it says in the Bible. John did not baptize those who repented, and their children with them. This is the point. May I spend a moment on silence? Although I will have more to say on it, the point here is this. Hanko claimed that John baptized children, working on the basis of the parent and his child. But, as he acknowledged, there is no proof or evidence of this in the scriptural record. Indeed, scripture, as he recognized, is silent on the matter. Just so. But what does this silence prove? It certainly does not prove that John worked on the principle in question, not at all. The silence at best proves neutral. At best. In fact, of course, the silence here means there is no scriptural justification for the claim, and therefore that it should never have been made in the first place. Consider the disciples of Jesus, who were also baptizing just after John, indeed at the same time for a while, John 3 and John 4. Did the disciples of Jesus baptize those who repented, and their children with them? Of course not. There is no doubt that the disciples of Jesus baptized in the same way as John did. The alternative is unthinkable. Imagine the chaos which would have ensued. Consequently, when the apostles came to baptize in Acts 2 on the basis of repentance, why would they have altered their practice? According to infant baptizers, after Pentecost they baptized believers and their children. But why would the apostles restore the Old Testament system of the children along with the Father when before Pentecost they had already moved to the New Testament basis? Why would they suddenly go back? It is foolish to think it. They baptized only repentant believers, not believers and their children. In light of this, the practice of Philip is very significant. Acts 8 verse 12 reads, "But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized." Notice, both men and women who believed were baptized. Not men and women and their children. If only infant baptizers would baptize in the way Philip did. If only they would baptize those who repent and believe, and only those. John baptized only those who showed signs of repentance. In this, he was completely consistent with the rest of the New Testament. It is not a question of infant or adult baptism. Baptism is always and only the baptism of those who repent and believe.